He's the coordinator for the Committee on Discipleship Ministries. He had some inimitable opportunity, or I don't know, Charles Donahue was, how many years was he the coordinator?
36. Forever.
36, and he was down the road in Winder.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
But Stephen done a great job, and we've had him up here to speak to us before about social media and those things,
mm-hmm.
And we're delighted he comes to us. He also teaches at Covenant Seminary. He was in a church in St. Louis, Kirk of the Hills, for a number of years. But we're delighted that he's come tonight to share God's
Great.
Truth with us.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity. And thanks for coming out on a Friday night. So many other things you could do, like football games, go to movies, whatever you want to. No, y'all don't do that?
Come to my house with a chainsaw.
Come to John's house with a chainsaw. That's good. All right. But tonight we're going to talk about learning theory. I know, just wait a little while, the goosebumps will go. So, tell you a little bit about me. How many of you are very familiar with what CDM is and does? Oh, good. We got a few people here. Thank you very much. Sometimes I struggle with that. You may know us by our old name, CEP, Christian Education and Publications. That's what Charles... I actually started at Christian Education and Publications, and then we changed the name. And then now we're Committee on Discipleship Ministries, or Christian Discipleship Ministries. Now, some people don't, what does that mean? What do you do? Well, this is the way I like to put it, is you have committees that serve the local church, committees serve Presbytery, and committees serve General Assembly. Many of our people in the PCA have heard of probably our largest committee. It's called Mission to the World, or MTW. Y'all heard of that? We'll talk about it later. So MTW, and they help local churches make disciples internationally, right? But if you want to plant a church, what committee are you going to go talk to? Anybody know? Kennedy Smart knows, but I'm not going to let him talk unless it's a really hard question, and then he's got to answer. All right, so what committee would you go to help you plant a church? Anybody? Church planning, and somebody said mission to North America, M&A, right. Very good. What if you want to make disciples on a college campus? You want to know how to do that. Where do you go for that?
RUF,
very good. All right. Where do you go if you're saying, you know, I want some help making disciples within the congregation? CDM. That's what we do. And so tonight we're going to talk about just sort of what we do, how we serve. But actually we're not going to go into that. We're going to ask, how do you learn? How do you grow in this knowledge of who God is, who Christ is, and how we follow Christ? Now, what we like to say is we strengthen the local church by providing you with the resources and relationships for discipleship ministry. Okay, one of those things, and you can get information. I've got what I call my propaganda table. It's right out there. And everything on the far right, you can take. But if it's a book, please don't take those. All right? We'd like for you to pay for those. But here's how we do it. And there are some books. Ben asked me to bring some books that deal with Reformation. One of our ministries at CDM is the PCA bookstore. It's mainly online. Some of you, if you're ever in Lawrenceville, we actually do have shelves. You can come stroll the shelves and take a look at that. But out there we have some books. And if you'd like one, this is the way we like to do it. I don't bring all the books in our bookstore, but we bring a sampling. And if you want one, there's a little sheet like this. You fill out your name, and you fill out what the book is, how much of the book, and the title or the price should be on the back of the book. Don't worry about tax. We work that in. So you put the price there. And then you can put your address, and we'll bill you. Most people don't want to put their credit card. In fact, I've got to get them to give me the newer forms that don't have the credit card. We prefer, we'll bill you. Or if you're really lucky, you can work it out, and we'll build the church, and then y'all can work it out. All right? But, and then what you do, if you're the first person to see that book and want that book, you put the form in there, okay? And if your form is in there, you get to take the book home. after the conference. But if not, and then what we have is a little envelope. You can fold up your paper and then you put it there, and I'll collect the envelopes and I'll take them in Monday morning, and your book will be mailed Monday. All right, y'all got that? I'll explain it later too if y'all have any questions. But you know, one of the things here, I want to get a feel for who we have here tonight. All right, do we have anybody here who is an educator in the sense of you have a master's degree or a PhD in education? Okay, you're the ones I got to worry about. But and Ryan didn't want to tell. Ryan, the sound guy, didn't want me to dwell on this, but I'm going to touch on it a little bit. We're talking about learning styles, and there's all kinds of debate in the world of education about learning styles. I understand the debate, but what I'm going to try to do is just give you some pegs to handle it, about understanding how do you teach and how do we learn, okay? Now, how many of you are teachers in the sense, especially in the context of discipleship? Maybe you teach a Sunday school class, you lead a small group, you do some sort of teaching. Maybe you teach in a parachurch like a community Bible study or Bible study fellowship. How many of those do we have here tonight? Okay, so we've got a good group of teachers. And you may have had some training on this before, depending upon your background. The rest of you are learners, right? All of us are learners. That's a good point. All of us are learners. But one of the things I want you to know tonight is I'm going to present this, and I want you who are teachers to begin to think about how you prepare and deliver a lesson. And if you aren't a teacher, I want you to listen and think about how, if I'm in a learning situation, how do I learn? Okay, so everybody should have some connection here. Now, in part of my job as coordinator of discipleship ministries is I talk to churches about discipleship in the local church. And there are different venues of a local church. Let's sort of rehearse some. What are the different ways that people grow and are educated in a local church? I've already mentioned some, but let's just throw them out, even if I'm already mentioned. How are ways that we learn in the context of church? Sunday school. That's a big one. Especially in this type of church. One of the things I was talking to somebody today, church planting in some of the, well, this guy was talking about the Northeast. He's in a Boston church. They plant churches and they don't have Sunday school. But a church in the South usually has Sunday school. All right, what's another way? Worship. Okay, so there's training going on there. We're going to come back to that a little bit. And back to Sunday school. What else? Wednesday night programs. Now, let me ask you something. Some people say Wednesday night programs are a junior church service. Is that what type? Well, I don't want to go, what type do you have here? That might cause problems. But it could be just sometimes Sunday night is that way. And you have a Sunday night service, right? Okay, so you have, that's another venue. What are some other things? Small groups, okay. And do y'all have small groups, John? How big are your small groups? Do you limit the size or are they different sizes? It's just whatever the leader wants, however many he or she can recruit, huh? Yeah, I've done that. Okay, well, one of the things that I do is I talk to people about small groups. Now, here's something that I get. And when I say a typical PCA church cynical view, this is based on what I hear sometimes when people complain about Sunday school. It's a situation of a teacher who is prepared and excited about the lesson, but fails to generate excitement in your learners. And she says, I know you're as excited as I am about today's lesson. Now, be thinking about the teachers you have, but you cannot mention any names. All right? So, this is, you've got that situation, but then you have this situation. The teachers, this completes the background to the lesson. A teacher's focused on delivering content with not enough thought about relevancy to the learners. In an education or discipleship situation, Who are the players involved? God. All right, who said that? All right, he's the Sunday school aunt. He gets the gold star. So, sometimes they say that first. Sometimes that comes last, and I have to get it up. You jumped in. Very good. Your name, sir?
Dennis.
Dennis gets the gold star. All right, so God is one of the players, all right? Dennis, you're going to get the hard questions after I give them to Kennedy, too. So, all right, so God, yes, that is true, and we need to keep that in mind. Who are the other players? The learners, okay, thank you. Like, I think the students would be an answer, but I'm not sure. Yes, the learners. Yeah, all right, so we got God, we got learners. Teachers, yes. I'm going to ask for one more. Well, the Holy Spirit, we'll put him in with Dennis's God, or the God that Dennis mentioned, all right? So, all right, so we got this God, teachers, learners, Bible, okay, that's good. Anybody else? This is one that people usually don't go to. How about learning environment? I'll touch on that a little bit later as we get into some of the how we learn. But that's what I would call a minor character. It's one we don't think about. But so all of those players are involved. Now, in this situation that's being described, this, you know, cynical view, what's the problem? Where would you go? All right, this is a difficult situation. Who are we going to work on? Who needs to change? Teacher. But could it also be the students? In what way would it be the students? Maybe they need to get engaged. Well, I think it's both, but I think primarily the teacher. Let's look at this together. This is 1 Thessalonians 4. We're not going to, 1, verses 4 through 6. We're not going to do a lot of exegetical work, but I want something. Somebody, who was the one that mentioned the Bible? Was it who mentioned the Bible as a player? Did you mention it? Who mentioned it? Yes. All right, the Bible is a player. This is very important, especially in a discipleship situation, because what we have, and we go through this debate in the PCA, what makes a discipleship situation? Well, I think you have to have the Word of God that's there. Otherwise, you're just hanging out. Because the Bible, God's Word, is a means of grace. But one of the things that we like to say at CDM is you need to be Word-based but relationally driven as you're presenting the Word. And we're going to touch on what does that mean to be relationally driven? Well, you think about relationship with God, but then relationship with other people. And I think this comes out in this text from 1 Thessalonians. Look what Paul writes here. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Okay, in that text, all right, youth guys, I'm going to come to you now. What are some words in that text that make you think the Bible? Our gospel. Yeah, you're not one of the youth guys, or maybe you are. But that's okay. It's gospel. All right, guys? So she's giving you a good help. All right, what else you got? Word. Very good. You think that might be too easy, but that is actually true. So you've got word. You've got gospel. Anything else that you see there? Holy Spirit. Okay, explain that a little bit. What are you grabbing on there? What are you seeing? He's behind the pole, so I can't really see. Okay, that's a good place for a Presbyterian. Okay. Holy Spirit would be God, and He'd be the player here. And of course, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Word, so that would be good. Now, also, what are some other things that go on here? Imitators. Example. So they were learning. Well, imitators, they learned and then they became something. Example is that not only was it the Word spoken, but it's what they saw. Now, how does that compare with the Word? And how did they See the example. There had to be community. John and I were talking earlier about you had a picnic Wednesday night, right? And it's sort of part of this conference, right? But you say, wait a minute, that's a picnic. Well, a picnic can be part of discipleship because you're building community with each other. And it's in that community that you can develop relationships. And when you find somebody, and I don't know, maybe this happened. Maybe some of you at the picnic the other night still didn't have power. And you had somebody from the church who came up to you, and just by asking you and caring about you, that encouraged you, or maybe they even prayed for you, where in that situation, the person doing the praying was set an example of, in this time of distress, where do we go? We go to God. And that's an example where we learn about how are we followers of Christ. This morning, I was having breakfast with somebody at a hotel downtown. It was a member of our permanent committee. And so we were about to eat breakfast. What do most Christians do before they eat? You pray. And we were talking about something going on in his life, and so we're praying for him. And the person that came up and was going to pour our water, and it was interesting. She said, her name is Letitia, and she said, you know, I don't see people do that much anymore. And so then we started a very brief conversation before she had to go take somebody else. But just by our living it out with an intentionality that God is real. And so that's how we're presenting it. Now, what does all that have to say? What I want you to see in this text is that the Word is so important. But the Word affects you and how you work with each other. And that's how discipleship occurs. So, here's my challenge. If you are one of those people, and we have them in PCA churches, I'm just going to come to Sunday school, or I'm just going to come to worship, and I'm just going to sit at the back, hear a great sermon, and then I'm out of here. And that probably wouldn't be people who come on a Friday night. I understand that. But maybe you're here because you really don't want to be here, but your spouse made you. I don't know what the case is. You don't just come and sit. You have to be involved in people's lives. That's where discipleship occurs. Now, as you think about teaching, what is your practice and who is your audience? I have a friend he's now an EPC pastor. He used to be a PCA pastor. He's an EPC pastor in St. Louis, Missouri. His name's Zach Eswine. We graduated together in seminary. In fact, we sat right next to each other. There's not much between S-Doc and Eswine. And so we were right next to each other. And Zach said, our ways teach. And I think that's what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, but it's also here. Now, look at that picture on the right. I want to go back to this, you know, different characters in a discipleship moment. And who are the players? That one on the right, what would you say, how would you describe that class? What would be the character of that class based on that picture right there? I mean, what do you notice about the environment? And what, looking at the environment, would give you the flavor of that class? What do you see? Yes, sir, what do you see back there? A lot of people listening, and maybe a few of them are bored. Okay, that's a good one.
There's no one on the front row.
So this is a Presbyterian Sunday school class. No one on the front row. Okay, what else we got? Anything else you see? Yes, sir.
They're all adults.
They're all adults, okay. And it's hard to tell. I'm sorry. Most of them look about the same age. So it could be an age and stage Sunday school class, what we call, or affinity-based class is what we sometimes call it. What are some other things you notice?
Probably a lecture type of class.
Why do you think that?
Because everybody's facing the front. It doesn't look like there's interaction
right
with each
It's a mixed group, so it's male and female. Very good. All right, what else?
It's in the library, so it's lots of distraction.
Lots of distraction. Okay, are you a book lover? Yes, okay. All right, what else can the library communicate? It's going to be a learning situation, maybe, somebody?
Quiet.
It's going to be quiet because people don't want to say, so that might actually play into people not wanting to participate and talk. Okay. What else?
Metal chairs.
So it's a little bit uncomfortable. Then that might be keeping them awake. Who knows? But probably it's more pragmatic. We just don't have anything else, or we need something to set up and take down real quickly. Another thing about the library could be that it's more academically oriented. And so that would be the case. And so do you see what I'm saying? That environment plays a role in what people bring to the situation and maybe their preparedness. Now, some of you may be uncomfortable with what I'm doing tonight. You seem to be very involved in giving answers. But, you know, what's this setup? What would you expect me to do? You expect me to come up here and stay right, depending upon how good a Presbyterian I am is how far outside these things I get, right? I don't know. Are you a roamer, John? You're not a roamer. I used to not be a roamer, but now I am a roamer, so sorry about that. But for some of you, that might make you uncomfortable. I don't know. And the environment plays into that. Okay, so our ways teach. Now, two important questions when we're looking in a learning environment. What is our goal and how do we get there? What is our goal in discipleship? What is our goal in teaching? What do you want to do? What do you want to take away as you're a learner? I think biblically, particularly look at Romans 12, because in view of the mercies of God, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice and our lives are transformed by the Word. So we want transformed lives. And then what happens is the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. Well, we will bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the good biblical goals. But what do we often settle for in the United States? More students and more classes. And if you're a teacher, I got to cover the content. All right, now I'm going to direct a question at teachers. Why is it that we want to always cover the content? I'm sorry?
You want equipped saints,
and so we've got to cover the content because then they're equipped. Right, okay. All right. What else you got? Yes, sir. Yeah, it's a lot easier to measure, so the assessment is easier. I made it through the class, so I had a good Sunday school class. I don't know what's going to happen to their lives. I can't measure that because I'm not going to see them next week, so I'm just going to be happy with my coverage. What else? Why are we so keyed in on coverage? Yeah, so we've got this much we want to cover, and we've divided it up, so we got to do that. So success in that thing. Well, okay, success is we finish the book of Romans in 3 weeks. That's not easy. All right? Well, we're not going to be successful if coverage is your goal. But maybe you have a different goal. You might have a personal agenda. And think about the personal agendas. I'm just going to tell you. One reason why I spend a lot of time preparing this, and I want to get it out. And that's so it's part of, I want to feel good about myself. And that's what teachers can do. There are other things, but covering content, Howard Gardner, who's an education, that coverage is the enemy of understanding. Coverage is the enemy of understanding. Because a lot of times you need to deal with, and what is our goal? Our goal is that they understand the Word more than just that we cover the word. Now, you could argue and say, well, if we get the word out, there's benefit. Yes, I acknowledge that. But understanding the word is what we want. Considerations for the teacher. If you're a teacher, I want you to think about that. As you're teaching, you always got to be mindful of the challenge of the expert. Because, and here's where it affects me. I spend all week studying, and I'm really deep into it. I'm really excited about it. And then I come in, and I expect you to know as much as I did after 8 or 10 hours of studying during the week. That, as an expert, okay, I can use this word or I can use that word and you should understand it. Well, as a teacher, you need to be thinking that not everybody's there. And so you can lose touch with what is easy for somebody to grasp and what's difficult. Demonstrate consideration. Adapt to the needs and expectation of the learners. And then I gave the Howard Gardner. Nurture two-way communication. The two-way communication comes in alone. You do it two ways, or a couple of ways. Let me go. The two-way communication helps you as a teacher know if your people are tracking with you. And that comes, one, it could be verbal. It's also watching their faces. I mean, if I see you falling asleep, I'm probably losing you. Unless you're a very hardcore auditory learner, and you're getting it, you're closing your eyes. But two-way communication also says they can ask questions for clarifying so there's understanding. And teachers, if you're always one way, it cuts off for them to come back. And so sometimes you don't know how you're doing. And then you're like Robert said, you're going towards, I've just got to cover this. That's more important to me than your understanding. And we got to be watching that as teachers. Now, a teacher must create and manage disequilibrium. All right, so here's where I have to be careful about the expert. I know what disequilibrium means in the education. You might not. So I'm going to explain it here in just a minute. But what you want to do, you don't want to cause too much disruption. Because if you press somebody too hard, they'll just be despairing. But if you don't go hard enough, then they get frustrated because it's irrelevant. Now, here's a little exercise we're going to do. How many of you know how, or let me do it, how many of you have yet to learn how to text? Wow, this is great. I thought there'd at least be a few. Oh, well, okay, we got one. Thank you very much. Oh, we got two. All right, so the buses will wait. How many more hands do we have up? All right, we've got two. Okay, now, here's a true story happened this week with all the storms. My mother is 80 years old. She texts. My mother-in-law is 79 years old. She doesn't text. And so when we lost power, and so we wanted to just let our families know how everything's going. And so my wife texted my mom, and immediately she texted back, and she was not only texting, my mother's like a wild woman with her texting. She just goes and goes and goes. My mother-in-law, you had to call and catch her at the right moment to tell her when, and of course they live up in my in-laws live in Niagara Falls area, so we have to go into bed early and all that stuff. But my wife made the comment, you know, it's so much easier to communicate with your mom because she knows how to text. Now, sometimes older people don't want to text because you got something like this. The mom, your great aunt just passed away, LOL. Why is that funny? It's not funny, David. What do you mean? Mom, LOL means laughing out loud. Oh my goodness, I sent that to everyone I thought it meant lots of love. I have total recall. I have to call everyone back. Oh God. So sorry about that last part there. Okay, now, how did you learn how to text? All right, go ahead. How did you learn how to text? Did you just one day pick up the phone and say, woohoo, I'm going at it?
Teenagers taught
you. Teenagers taught you. All right, very good. All right, how many of y'all have taught people How to text, be it your parents. Okay, we got 100% back there. All right. Oh, we got a couple more over here. All right. How did they teach you? Showed you. Did you learn right away? Yes? Okay. All right. So showed you right away. All right, we're going to come back to that. You're texting, you showed right away. How many of y'all learned just, okay, Mom, this is how you text. You pull it out, you pull up your messaging app, and then you start texting. And they just told you and you got it. Anybody go that route? Or did anybody Google it and find out how to do it? You know what I'm doing? I've got a bookmark about emoticons. I don't know the emoticons. I don't know what this face means and that face. I do know what the thing that sort of looks like a Hershey's Kiss means, but it's not a Hershey's Kiss. So I haven't made that mistake yet, okay? But how did you learn? And did you learn right away? Or did somebody tell you? Did it go by hearing? Those are the things you got to think about. Okay, now, what the learning process runs like this. When you come into a learning situation, you have what we would call in education theory, steady state of knowledge. You come into a situation with a measure of knowledge. But then you reach, and this is the disequilibrium, you are placed in a situation where you don't know. For example, all of a sudden these people are texting around you and you don't know how to do it. So there's a disequilibrium there. And the purpose of the disequilibrium is to stir you up, to ruffle your feathers to the point where you say, I need to know. I need to learn. Well, then that situation reveals the inadequacy of the steady state that you brought into the situation. Now, then you get new information. It could be through word. It could be through example. So you got the new information. You hear it. You assimilate it. You adapt it. It changes you in some way, usually a change of behavior. And you reach a new steady state. Learning has occurred. Now, in education, there's a debate about when do you learn? And I tend to be one of those that say, you learn when your behavior changes. It's not just I have bigger file of knowledge up in my mind. It's you actually change behavior. Now, learning styles comes into that. And there's different debate about what learning styles are. There's basically two ways. One is how you receive information. That's what most people, when they talk about learning styles, how you receive. And there are three, what I'm going to call learning modes, how information comes to you. Visual, audio, and tactile kinesthetic is the name, where you want to handle it, where you want to use it. If you go online and you say, all right, Google learning styles, most of the time you'll see stuff that comes up like this. And that's how you receive information. And although all of us are sort of a mixture of them, usually there's one that's dominant, that's sort of our go-to style that we prefer. Now, in the church, we're sort of structured for audio. But what am I using tonight? It's a mixture of audio and visual. In just a minute, we're going to bring some tactile. Because there are different ways where people think, okay, I'm receiving. You know, you've got that disequilibrium, and then you're bringing in new information. Well, that bringing in new information, how do we prefer how to do it? And so here are the three common ways. And you can probably expand them out different, and there's mixtures of both. But that's where most people land. So visual, audio, and kinesthetic. But then there's also, how do we process information? And what we're doing tonight is sort of laying the groundwork, and then tomorrow we're going to go into more detail about, okay, how does this groundwork change how we teach? But when you're dealing with processing, you've got basically four groups. And here again, people sort of, depending upon the situation, they might go between the sectors. But it comes down to collaborative, which is more relational, analytic, which is more sit and think and listen. Common sense, which also is in that less relational, I just want to find out why this is working. And then dynamic, that's the person that's really creative and wants to run with the ball. So usually the top two are seen as more relational, and the bottom two are seen as more cognitive. So let me go through this, and then we're going to look at collaborative. Some of the characteristics you learn by listening and sharing ideas. You love to talk and describe the situation. You're in tune with people. Those of you who are intuitive or feeling, if you do use the Myers-Briggs, you're probably going to be more in this area. You enjoy role-playing and simulation. You like case studies, those types of things. You prefer let's discuss over let's decide. Some people say, these people like to fly the plane around and it never lands. But, so, see facts in relationship to people and events. Here again, it's very relational. Now, then you go down to analytic. These are the poster children for traditional classrooms, and I would say these are the poster children for most PCA churches. They're the ones who want information, 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 and give it to me linearly, and give me that coverage, and give me those good markers of this main point, this main point, this main point, these subpoints. That's the analytic. They love facts, they love figures, they love catechism, they love Bible, they love memorization, they love all that. That's analytic. They don't like ambiguity. Don't leave anything open. Tie it up in a knot. Then you have the common sense people. They just want to know, big deal. In fact, if you're a common sense learner, you're probably saying, when is this guy going to come to a point? I'm an analytical person, sorry, so I teach in an analytical way. But they grow frustrated with theory and ambiguity. They want action and doing. And then you have the dynamic. They love the flexibility. Let's just sort of see where this goes. Dream, wonder, consider. Willing to experiment, explore. Start a project, put learning to work. Okay, those are the four categories. Now, here's going to go into the tactile. Okay, you have, how many of y'all got the little, the diagnostic, okay? Got the diagnostic, and that's going to be your mode. What we're going to do is we're going to, if you got a pen, what you're going to do is we're going to hit each of these 12 questions, and you're going to circle one. And here we go. When you try to concentrate, some of you grow distracted by clutter. You notice things around you other people don't notice. Or you get distracted by sounds. You want to control the amount of noise. Or one, you become distracted by action, commotion. And you want to retreat so that there's nothing going on around you. So that's how you concentrate. All right. Of those three choices, circle one. That best describes you. Now, number two, when you visualize, you see vivid, detailed pictures in your thoughts. Or do you hear sort of people explaining things? Or do you see images and thoughts that involve some sort of movement when you're trying to visualize something? Sort of, do you visualize a picture of it? Do you visualize somebody talking or sort of rehearsing what you may have heard before? Or images and thoughts? All right, when you talk to others, you find it difficult to listen for very long? Or you enjoy listening but you want to talk yourself? Or are you like me? And I cannot talk without moving my hands. I know some of you have already noticed that. And you think, busy action. Calm down, Stigma. So what is it with you? When you contact people, do you want face-to-face? Do you want to talk on the telephone or sort of serious conversation? You don't want the face-to-face, you want to do the audio? Or do you interact while walking? So that's where you want to contact. So those are the first four. Next four. When I see an acquaintance, I forget names but remember faces, and I replay where we met for the first time. I have this ability and drives my wife crazy because I'll say, you know, we met so-and-so and we met them here. She said, how do you remember that? I said, that's how I remember them. It's because for me, that's where, especially in that area, I'm more of a visual person. I know people's names. I can usually quote something we've discussed. Or kinesthetic, I remember we did something together. When you relax, do you watch TV, do you play music, or do you do something? When you read, you like descriptive examples, lots of adjectives, creating the picture. When you hear a preacher, you love the illustrations, lots of detail. Or do you just enjoy the narrative and you like hearing the characters talk? Or are you action-oriented and you don't often read for pleasure? You want to do something. When you spell, do you envision the word, like picture it on a page? Or do you sound out the word, recalling rules about letter order, I before E, except after C? I get a feel for the word by writing it out and pretending to type it. So I sort of write it out. Last four. When I do something new, I want demonstrations, pictures, diagrams. I go to YouTube. I want to see somebody do it. Or do you want those verbal instructions or written instructions? Or talk it over with somebody? Or are you one of those, I just jump in and try to do it and work it out? When you assemble an object, you look at a picture first and then maybe read the directions. Or do you read the directions multiple times and talk yourself through the directions so you hear yourself, all right, step one, blah, 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 blah. Step two, that's an audio person? Or do you just ignore the directions and figure it out as I go along? Okay, no, not all men are kinesthetic learners, but where do you go with those directions? And when you interpret someone's mood, is it based on facial expressions? Is it based on the tone of their voice or their body language? And when you teach other people, are you showing them, telling them, or demonstrating it and then letting them demonstrate it and you're sort of guiding them? Okay, hopefully you circled those, and I most likely, if you're most people, you have a mixture, okay? But tally those up, and whichever one is your primary, whichever one has the most, that's going to be your primary, secondary, and tertiary, all right? So everybody got those? All right, now we're going to go back to this. And I'm going to go through these, and I want you to, we're going to go through these four and figure out which one you are there. Collaborative. You learn by listening, sharing. You're in tune with people and feelings. You like role playing and simulation. If you're collaborative or think you might be collaborative, sort of make a tick mark there. Or are you analytic? You just want the information, just the facts. Or are you common sense? You just want to know, why? What am I supposed to do with this? And then dynamic, you love the flexibility and new ideas. Open with ambiguity, you just sort of want to dream. All right, you've given me information, and yeah, you give me a situation where it can be used, but I want to think of all the different other areas that we can use it. That's a dynamic processor. Okay? Now, here's what we're going to do. Oh, excuse me. I want to see what you are. Okay, so if you are a dynamic learner, I want you in this corner. If you are a common sense learner, I want you in this corner. If you're an analytic, I want you in that corner. If you're a collaborative over here, I want you to, all right, move to your corners, wherever you're sort of dominant. I'm going to get up here where I can see everybody real well. All right, Robert's over here. He's a dynamic guy. Oh, my goodness. You got to watch out for those guys. They're very good, though, at coming up with a dynamic, collaborative, analytic, common sense. I know you probably want to go to multiple areas. Okay, so the y'all are the collaborative. Okay, very. What's that? Collaborative, analytic, common sense, dynamic. Wow, we got a bunch of common sense people back there. Okay, now, once you get in your areas, I want you to subdivide based on your mode. Sort of all the visual people get together, all the audio people get together, and all the tactile people get together, all right? This is collaborative, analytic, common sense, dynamic. No, you're within your circles, to subdivide. Okay, are y'all getting it? This is collaborative right here. Collaborative, analytic, common sense, dynamic. Okay, all right, here's why I'm doing this. All right, this is my auditory learn. Here's why I'm doing this. I want you to look at who God has brought together. And I want you to be amazed. We're all created in the image of God, but we're created differently. And if you are a teacher, I want you to see where your students are. Because this is going to come into play tomorrow when we talk about how do you structure a lesson given these things, all right? So, all right, over here, let's go to collaborative. All right, all of y'all like to talk, and y'all were talking pretty good. All right, how are we on, how many of you are the visual people? Okay, so we got visual, where's the auditory? And then the tactile. Okay, two tactile, very good. So you're about even on the visual and the audio? Okay.
I don't think those common sense people know that they're really supposed to be over here.
Yeah. They can't find a reason to do it, so that's enough. Okay, back here on the analytical people. All right, where are the visual people? Ah, so we got a big group of visual people. All right, audio. Okay, a little bit. Okay, well, and that's what's your dominant one? Are you tied? Oh, tied. All right, tactile. Just a few tactile people. All right. I'm actually surprised that there are so many visual. So you've really enjoyed this PowerPoint presentation, right? All right, over here, common sense. Where are we? Audio, visual, all that. Visual. Again, another big visual. John, I hope you use illustration in your preaching. All right, audio. Okay, now, tactile. Oh, okay, we've got some tactile people. Well, that makes sense in the comment because you're wanting to apply and sort of use it. All right, dynamic. Yeah, it's usually the collaborative and dynamic. In PCA churches, y'all are the smallest because you think, I'm a fish out of water or something. Nobody wants to collaborate here. They don't want to sit and learn. All right, and then you say they don't want to take anything with it. All right, so visual people over here. Okay, got a few. Audio. Okay, audio. Tactile. Okay, you got a little bit more of a blend there. Again, look at your students. And tomorrow what we're going to talk about is you've got a lesson. How do you prepare knowing we've got all this going on? So your desire has to go beyond, I'm just going to cover the lesson. Here's what we normally do. We teach the way we learn. And what we need to move to is teaching the way our learners learn. Let me close us in prayer. Father, thank you for this time, and thank you for the way that you created your people, how you bless us, how you've created us differently. And Lord, I pray for this time together, even tonight as we're sort of where people are. And Lord, we know we're in different places and it's a little mixture. But Lord, open our eyes to see how we can better communicate your word so that your people understand your word and grow. Jesus, bless us. We thank you in your name. Amen.